keď mi prešla kárta na rukáva. Stavia svojho ňaňa za šekovať. Ňaňa z mý ňaňu, zrobte mi tú voľu, chce za mňa slúžeť na tú voľu. Ňaňu z mý ňaňu, zrobte mi tú voľu, chce za mňa slúžeť na tú voľu.
Edmonton, Alberta, that was a group called Migrena from their CD Beauty is Not Contagious, and a traditional folk song from the Lemko region of Ukraine. It is called Karta, which means a card or map. And again, that was Migrena from Edmonton. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос», яка передається із чудового Ванкуверського острову. Говорить Павліна Макворі, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there, and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Paulette Demchuk-McQuarrie, your host. Thank you for tuning in. I am delighted to have you with me. Whether you're listening on AM, FM, shortwave, online or in-flight, or to the podcast, welcome, vitayu. We have a great program lined up for you, lots of great stuff. We've got Sylvia Pietraziuk-Molnar coming by, and she'll be talking about Ukraine's favorite vegetable, maybe next to cabbage, but that is beets. I think that's our national vegetable. At any rate, she'll be by with some very interesting information and great cooking tips. Father Ihor Kutash will be by for Vancouver listeners, and he'll be talking about the saints of Ukraine. As well, we will have Vasil Pavlovsky with Cultural Capsule talking about place names in Canada that bear Ukrainian place names. And Keith Perron will be by with news. He'll be talking about corruption in Ukraine. And we'll have a special feature interview conducted by our colleague in Edmonton, Roman Bretan, with Radio Journal. We'll be talking to Daria Lutsiu, the president of the Ukrainian Canadian Congress, Alberta Provincial Council, about Ukrainian Day there being held at the Ukrainian Cultural Village. And all that's coming up later on, but right now we've got some more music for you. Ray St. Germain standing by to tell you all about Conchita Kowalski.
Radiocast.ca – це наша адреса в інтернеті. Українська радіопрограма з Ванкувера «Четверта хвиля». Ukrainian programming – the fourth wave from the Burnaby Mountain. ми виходимо на хвилі 91 FM в Ванкувері. Також ловіть наш потік через веб-сайт cjsf.ca.
PCJ Radio would like to make you a winner. PCJ Radio is giving away three Texan 920 World Band receivers to three lucky winners in June, July, and August. In September, we are having a grand giveaway of a brand new Sanjen ATS 909X worth $399 to one lucky winner. To enter, let us know how you heard this program with the date and time, and answer the following very simple question. What does radio mean to you? You can send your entries to ATS909X at gmail.com. Again, that's ATS909X at gmail.com. If you wish to enter by snail mail and receive a small thank you gift for entering, you can find our postal address at www.pcjmedia.com. Winners will be announced on a monthly basis on Media Network Plus. So, good luck!
Another Edmonton group for you, that was Millennia from their CD Zhitya, which means life, and Karpatinska. And now, Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello. I've been a fan of beets since I was a kid. I even had my own little beet garden in the back alley. I was the only kid in the block that had a garden in the back alley. One day, much to my horror, my beets were gone, eaten by our milkman's horse. We all loved him dearly, so it didn't really matter. I didn't know that horses like beets too. Both my parents were from Western Ukraine, where beets and corn are the most popular vegetables. Here in Vancouver, they had a fabulous vegetable garden, and they grew beets, corn, and a multitude of other vegetables. There isn't a time when I'm preparing beets that I don't think back to when I was a kid and had my little beet garden in the back alley. I think baking beets in foil is the single best method for cooking beets. It's the easiest, less messy, and allows you to store the beets without handling them until you want to eat them. At that point, you unwrap and peel them as you desire. Bake beets that are about the same size. Preheat the oven to 450 degrees Fahrenheit. Wash the beets carefully. Do not break the skin. Wrap them in foil individually and put them on a parchment-lined tray for easy cleanup in case of leakage. Cook for an hour to an hour and a half or until tender when pierced with a thin-bladed knife. Now, get your pens ready for stuffed beets, unique and elegant, plus a great make-ahead. Cook the number of medium or large beets required. Cut a slice from the top and scoop out the pulp to make a shell. Save the pulp for another use. Cut a thin slice from the bottom of each beet so they stand upright. Prepare a filling of finely chopped celery, cucumbers, and cabbage. Moisten with a salad dressing of your choice. I like a simple vinaigrette or mayonnaise. Fill each shell with the vegetables and top with a sieved or finely chopped egg yolk. These are great with poultry, ham, pork, duck, or beef, as well as cold cuts. Treat your taste buds. It's Ukrainian.
Thanks, Sylvia, for sharing your Ukrainian culinary expertise on Ukrainian Food Flair here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
Yeah. на поїзд, серце моє, ось не твоя. Не на поїзд, серце моє, ось не твоя.
Manitoba, that was Kalena from their CD Freshly Picked, and they've got about, I think, 7 CDs out. Maybe they've got an 8th one out. I do know that their 7th one is named 7, Seam, so that's kind of a dead giveaway. At least 7 CDs. This is from an earlier CD called Freshly Picked, and that song was Oi Vitsa Hora. Coming up next, another Winnipegger. This is Sophia Bilazor from her CD Charivni Melodii, Enchanted Melodies, or Enchanting Melodies, and here she is now with Oi Uhayu Pretunayu in the Grove by the Danube.
Yeah.
You're listening to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio. Us on a little bit of a trip down memory lane back to the 1970s. That was Sofia Rotaru with Vodohrai, the dance of the water fountain. Up next, Vasil Pavlovsky will tell you all about some very interesting places in Canada.
Hello, I'm Vasil Pavlovsky, and this is Cultural Capsule, especially for Nash Holos. In the summer of 1991, I took one of my interesting road trips from Montreal out to Saskatoon for the Ukrainian-Canadian Students' Union Congress, and then on to Edmonton. It was part of my plan and a month-long journey to help Ukrainian student leaders from Ukraine to understand the vastness of Canada and for them to get an inkling of what Canada's first Ukrainian immigrants may have experienced 100 years earlier. After missing a gas stop in Portage la Prairie, we pulled over by some little crossroad gas station and slept in the vehicle. In the morning, we headed off westward into Saskatchewan. I had no desire to dig out my trusty Coleman stove to make breakfast that morning, so I treated my friends to breakfast at the Golden Arches. As we sat down, my friend Oris says to Andriy and I, in Ukrainian, with a surprised look on his face, Where are we? All those old guys at the next table are speaking our language. Welcome to Yorkton, Saskatchewan, was my reply. With about 300 kilometers left to our destination of Saskatoon, we headed onward, though about 30 minutes down the road, the Orthodox Church, the Holy Spirit at Insinger, Saskatchewan, beckoned us to make a stop. I slowly drove into the village. Andrei got out with a video camera to capture this part of their journey. He came across a family nameplate on a mailbox, which read, John Hudimel. It was not long before that same man had us sitting around his small kitchen table, drinking coffee with him. He told us of both his and his father's service in the Canadian Army, as well as a cache of money his father had hidden and which he had spent years searching for, but to no avail. Andrei asked about the village church and why the church was there, because the name of the village, he said, sounded German to him. That wonderful man, after showing us his digs and a plane and during a second round of good coffee, explained the ethnic mix of the village and then stated there were many places in Canada which had Ukrainian place names. One of the first documented Ukrainian settlements not far from Dauphin, Manitoba was called Terboglia, as well as other settlements with the names of Dolema, Zaporizhka, Sich, and Kosiv. Then he recited some places he knew of in Saskatchewan: Antonivka, Buchach, Burtynke, Dobrovode, Kalina, Kiev, Kulike, and Lanivtsi. Most of these names my friends and I recognized. Later, as part of the Congress, we visited the homestead school of one of the organizer's grandfathers in the rural municipality of Buchach, Saskatchewan. See that Hudimel was right, said Andrei. I'm Vasily Pavlovsky, and this week's cultural capsule on Nash Holo featured Ukrainian place names which dot the Canadian landscape.
Возил я суботу від Бейкерville до Дафену, і з тобою якийсь Іван, що трошка переверну, як ідеш там до Дафені, прошу зі мною їхати. Я хотів собі він зачав мене питати, чи я бачив таку дорогу, то ти є і де ти був, а я сказав, слухай, слоню, я тобі зараз скажу, де я був. Я вже сюди був, чоловіче, я вже сюди був. Прері, переїхав я, море, переїхав я, оре, переїхав я вже сюди був. Rose, Aberdeen, Owatetna, Wayne, Chicago, Toronto, Winnipeg, Glendonville, Nevada, Ottawa, Inwood, Arburg, Hamilton, Devon, Fraser, West, Breezeville, Bonnyville, Beckerville, Foam Lake, Smoky Lake, Clear Lake, Shoal Lake, Repeat Lake, Lake. Yeah, vже сюди був, чоловіче, я вже сюди був. Прері, переїхав. Я море переїхав я, море переїхав я вже сюди був. Sifton, Fredericton, Thorhill, Stony Plain, Vernon, Victoria, Vancouver, Gilbert Plains, Valley River, Swan River, Wayne Yard, West Fox, Selkirk, Schofield, Poplarfield, Matlock, Ethelbert, Fitzalbert, Camrose, Kansas City, Sioux City, Cedar City, Gimli, what a pity, I just shoot the boot, show the beat, I just shoot the boot. Pretty, pretty, it's so ya, what a pity, it's so ya, what a pity, it's so ya, I just shoot the boot. Я тебе був і що ти бачив?
Сраді був гімно бачив.
And from Winnipeg, that was the Ukrainian old-timers and their take on Ukrainian place names in Canada. Those weren't specifically Ukrainian names, but they were certainly names of places where you will find a Ukrainian community, no doubt. Again, that was the Ukrainian old-timers with Я вже сюди був, I've been everywhere. Up next, speaking of everywhere, let's go to Ukraine and find out what's happening there.
Ukrainian News Outlook.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, corruption in Ukraine. Is it part of the country's Soviet past? An investment of over 300 million euros to Ukraine's gas work. I'm Keith Parent. Corruption is a problem the world over, and Ukraine is one of the leaders of corruption in Eastern Europe. 20 years after the collapse of the Soviet Union, Ukraine in many ways still follows the old ways of doing business. The government has introduced new laws to combat corruption, but many people feel that change will only come from new leadership, and not from the civil servants who've been in the jobs from the time from the USSR influence over Ukraine. The BBC's Edward Stoughton has been traveling across Eastern Europe and stopped in Ukraine to find out what the situation is like 20 years later.
A service at the vast new Church of Byzantine Rite Catholics in Kiev. Among the regulars here is Taras Chernobyl, an independent MP. After the week I've spent investigating corruption in Russia, his assessment of what's happening in Ukraine is depressingly familiar.
The most dangerous thing is that it's not just the people at the top of the system taking bribes. Everybody's willing to take part in corruption. Big businesses, small businesses, ordinary people.
It's 20 years since Ukraine escaped the Soviet Union, but according to Mr. Chernobyl, its leaders still haven't left the past behind.
Unfortunately, all Ukrainian leaders, past and present, all of them came from the Soviet system, and they couldn't be different, even if they wanted to be. Only the new leaders who are emerging from civil society have what it takes to change the system dramatically and make things better. Not current politicians.
This is the sort of civil society organization on which Mr. Chernobyl is pinning his hopes. An independent group of investigative journalists. The office ping pong is for downtime. They've had real success in digging out stories of official corruption, and they get them published. But according to one of the team, Alexandra Vesnich, no one seems to care very much, and the government just dismisses it.
When we're talking about corruption, they say, nah, everything is clear, everything is fair. They go to the court if you don't like it. It's not only our problem, big and powerful national newspapers, they reach the same problem. They publish something, and even people in Ukraine, they are not surprised for that. It's like, I know that this thing is also corrupted.
Parliament has recently approved new anti-corruption legislation. Among other things, it puts a limit on the value of gifts public officials can receive and prohibits civil servants from employing their own relatives. The government does get credit in some quarters for being sincere in its efforts to combat corruption. Viktor Lisitsky used to be a top civil servant in Kiev. He's retired now and entertained us to lunch in his house in the country outside the capital. His verdict on the new law, good effort, but it won't work.
No,
it's not enough. Absolutely not. Because it's very easy to get around those restrictions. For example, imagine you're a civil servant and you have a daughter-in-law and you want to find her a good job. But now you can't give her a job in your department. A businessman comes to you and wants you to help him speed up some official paperwork. So you ask him to find a good job for your daughter-in-law. No problem. Either he gives her a job with a good salary, or he'll ask a friend of his to take care of it. And then, all of a sudden, no problem with any paperwork. I could give you a million more examples.
I'm looking across the Dnieper River towards Kiev's historic center, and the skyline is dominated by a huge statue symbolizing the motherland. It was erected to commemorate the Soviet Union's victory over the Nazis during the Second World War. The Soviet Union, of course, ceased to exist 20 years ago, but the statue is still very much there, and with a height of more than 300 feet, it casts a long shadow. So too, it seems, does Ukraine's Soviet past.
That was the BBC's Edward Stoughton reporting from Kiev. Two European investment banks have pledged to lend Ukraine 308 million euros to upgrade its ailing natural gas transport and storage system. The European Bank for Reconstruction and Development, together with the European Investment Bank this past week, promised to fund a modernization project if Ukraine pushes ahead with reforming its troubled gas sector. The Ukrainian government must cut subsidies to households for heating and hot water and improve management at the state energy firm Naftogaz. Naftogaz is obligated to contribute some 200 million euros for the project. And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of Ukraine News Outlook. I'm Keith Parron.
And many thanks to Keith Perron at PCJ Radio for providing the news feature for us here on Nasholos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Up next, Roman Breton from Radio Journal in Edmonton will be speaking with Daria Luciu, the president of the Alberta Provincial Council of the Ukrainian Canadian Congress, and they'll be talking about the upcoming Ukrainian Day celebrations at the Ukrainian Heritage Village in Alberta.
With us by telephone is the President of the Alberta Provincial Council of the Ukrainian Canadian Congress, Daria Luciu. Hello, Daria.
Hi, Domani.
So it's summertime, and summertime means festivals and celebrations, and in Alberta, specifically the Edmonton area, one of the big highlights is generally in the beginning of August, it's Ukrainian Day. Now, Ukrainian Day historically has always been organized by UCC?
Yes, it has. It started shortly after the village, the Ukrainian Cultural Heritage Village, was open. It was a partnership that UCC, Alberta, and the government got together on, and so it has been running now for over 30 years.
Yeah, well, the actual day itself even goes beyond the history of the village, right?
That's right. The whole concept started, and I have no idea when, a very long time ago, across the highway at Elk Island Park, and then once the Ukrainian Cultural Heritage Village was established, the event moved to that site.
And for people who don't know, of course, the village is not that far, just about a half hour's drive outside of Edmonton.
Easy half hour drive, and a popular place for many visitors.
So what does Ukrainian Day do for the community? What's its purpose?
Well, the whole purpose, I think, is more than anything, is to both to come together and have some fun celebrating our culture, and also it's an opportunity for us to engage tourists and the broader community and share that culture, share entertainment, share a little bit of our history and awareness as well. And it's always been a day that people from outside of Edmonton come, so it's a real gathering place for families and members of the Ukrainian community from all East Central Alberta.
You know, one thing that I find, of course, we see this all the time, is that there's a certain dynamic to rural Ukrainian communities and urban Ukrainian communities, and this is the one event that really brings everybody together, right?
Absolutely. It does bring it together very nicely, and in the last few years, I suppose, that urban Ukrainian community has the element of relatively new immigrant families from Ukraine or
right.
Europe, and it brings it all together nicely. The programming for the day, we try to keep all of the different audiences in mind as we put the day and the concert together, and it ends up being a really great celebration.
What's the date for this year's event?
This year it's Sunday, always on a Sunday, and it'll be August the 7th.
And what can we expect this year?
Well, it's going to be a full day. There are, and for those who don't know the Ukrainian Village site, there are on the historic site three churches. And so there'll be church services happening in each of those churches. There'll be a pancake breakfast that starts at 8:30. Church services are at 9:30. And then the day continues. There's a program, Centennial Certificate program, where pioneer families who have arrived at least 100 years ago are recognized amongst that first wave of Ukrainians. This program's been going on for a few years. This year we'll have a very special meeting because it is the 120th year since the settlement of the first Ukrainian pioneers. And so there'll be the whole certificate program and unveiling of that monument, this name plaques that go on that centennial monument. We recognize the war veterans as well. There is a Royal Canadian Legion here, which its roots are within the Ukrainian community, and so they, along with veterans from wars in Ukraine, come together, and we have a memorial service. There are all kinds of displays, artists, and bazaar, and sale of different kinds of goods, and crafts. There's children's activities. The Alberta Council for the Ukrainian Arts is great every year in putting together a tent full of activities for kids. So anything from trying their hand at painting and a little bit of embroidery or watercolor, different stuff. It's just wonderful for them. We have a great showcase, a concert showcase, which is a highlight every year. And this year that's going to be headlined by Chetamosh Ukrainian Dance Ensemble, which we're really thrilled about. And then the concert will be comprised of all kinds of musicians and, like I said, Chetamosh and singers from Edmonton, from Calgary, and from Toronto. So it's going to be a great show and a great day.
Yeah, it is. And it's just, the whole thing is the whole day is an experience. Like you said, you can pretty much plan how you want to have the day, but it really is the thing where you pack up Baba and Dido and the kids and just everybody goes. People bring picnics or, like you said, they enjoy the food on site. And the outdoor show, if people don't have an idea, it's really pull up a piece of grass because basically you're sitting up on a hill, right? And the band show is an incredible, beautiful area.
Well, it is. It's a natural amphitheater. And so you have the band shell and then you have that hill area and it's really lovely. Sound is great. And like you say, pull up a piece of grass or a blanket. And of course we have, as you said, everybody comes out and camps for the day. Well, we've got RVs that come out for the day to the site as well. And they use that as their base and they all sort of park up around the amphitheater and make a day of it. So it is lots of fun. And we're really trying to instill more of that festival atmosphere. So it's a full day. There's something to do starting at 8:30 until the site closes at 5 o'clock. And there's lots of activities for children, whether it's hands-on crafts, whether it's some of the obstacle courses and fun stuff in the Cossack games, different things like that. So there's something going on all day. And people can get out, can walk about. And, of course, there is the whole historic side of the Ukrainian village where they can take a look and remember what that early pioneer life was like and experience bread being baked in an outdoor peach, or kids can experience children's pioneer games and so on. So there's just so much to do.
Right, right. And, all of the buildings are open and the historic role players are there. I mean, it's not just Cook's major event. It's also the major event for the village. So,
That's right.
I guess because we are preparing this for other markets, this interview, not just Edmonton, in particular, some BC radio listeners, we should point out that there is no overnight camping at the Ukrainian village, but there are certainly campsites that people can Google in the area of Elk Island Park.
Oh, absolutely. There's some gorgeous campsites at Elk Island Park, which is just across the highway. And in that area, you can go either way, towards Vegreville or back towards Edmonton. There's many different sites that they could look into for overnight camping as well. So, yeah, absolutely. But it's a great tourist destination. And tourists who come through that site, they have always praised the village and the experience that they enjoy while they're there.
And then, of course, one of the other really nice things is, as opposed to a lot of other festivals, which have costs to cover, and so there's a lot of costs that you pay besides just the gate admission, here you pay the village gate admission, you're in, and you're in for the day, including the concert.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing else, no other ticket prices, unless, of course, you want to buy yourself pampushke or, enjoy a plate of varaniki or something. But in terms of the concert, the kids' activities, everything is sponsored, and no other penny pinching.
Okay, so the website to the village is ukrainianvillage.ca. What is the website to Provincial Cook in Alberta?
It will be uccab.ca.
Daria Luciu, President of the Provincial Council of the Ukrainian-Canadian Congress here in Alberta, talking about Ukrainian Day 2011. Daria, dуже дякую.
Дякую тобі, Романе.
This land is my land, from Buena Vista to Vancouver Island, from the Arctic Circle to the Great Lake waters. This land is made you and me. The night was in ya, and I ship pulling behind the Paso through Omoria. The night was in ya, and I ship pulling, singing nice for me cry, singing nice for me cry.
And Mickey and Bunny from Winnipeg, from their CD 24 Greatest Hits, that was, of course, This Land Is Our Land, Pokrinske Tse Nasha Zemlya. You'll find the very best in Ukrainian cultural programming here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting Sunday evenings in Vancouver at 6 p.m., AM 1320 on the radio dial and online at am1320.com, in Nanaimo Wednesdays at 2 p.m. on 101.7 FM or online at chly.ca. And also on shortwave AM, FM, and internet radio in over 28 countries on the PCJ Radio Network. Podcasts are available at noshholos.com and on the Nash Holos page at pcjmedia.com, as well as on iTunes. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму. Вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед закінченням я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Хто зичливий, той і справедливий. And our proverb of the week translates as, whoever is kind is also just. Well, that just about wraps up our program. So, one last tune. It is by The Sounds of the Steppes from Dryden, Ontario, and The Ukrainian Wedding March. I'm Paula Demchuk-McQuarrie. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, до побачення.